If you are here, especially if you are here for the very first time, we are grateful to be worshiping with you today, and we hope that you will find Trinity a place where you can grow in your faith and a place where you will feel at home. And so I say to you this morning, welcome home. This morning I want to draw your attention to a few things that are in your bulletin. First of all is a Connect card. You see that there every Sunday, and we invite you to fill it out every Sunday, even if you're here all the time. If you'll just give us your name and your email, it helps us to stay connected to you. If you're here for the first time, if you'll share as much information as you are comfortable providing, we sure do appreciate it. You'll also see a brochure about adult ministries in your bulletin. And those are opportunities for different small groups that will be beginning over the next few weeks. Worship, prayer, praise, corporate worship is the most important thing that we do as followers of Christ. And small groups are incredible ways for us to grow in our faith. Something happens when we meet with a small group regularly and when we share in fellowship with one another and also share in learning about Scripture and learning about God and what it means to be a follower of Christ. So I invite you to read those carefully and find one that piques your interest and pray about that and pray about being a part of one of those groups. I would love for every person to be a part of a small group here in Trinity. I also want to let you know that our mission box this morning is for Young Life. Young Life is an incredible ministry that works with teenagers in our middle schools and high schools, and it's a great opportunity for you to be generous today. So on your way out, you'll see wooden boxes by all the exit doors, and I invite you to place any of your gifts in the boxes for Young Life. Finally, tonight at 6 o'clock, there's a worship service at Faith Mission. Faith Mission is Trinity's mission on the east side of town, pretty much right across the street from Rawlings Elementary School. We're going to have a worship service tonight, and you all are invited as well as people from that community. That mission is a way for us to be in relationship and in ministry with the people of that community for the well-being of us all. And so we invite you to come at 6 o'clock. You also might remember that on Christmas Eve, all of our Christmas Eve offering went to Rawlings Elementary School for the renovation of their media center. They are well underway with that, and you tonight will be able to see the fruit of that ministry. And so come at 6 o'clock for the worship service, and in the course of that service, we will walk across the street to Rawlings and be able to see the media center. We look forward to seeing you there. Now let me invite you to stand up and say hello to someone near you. Reach across the aisle or reach behind you. Introduce yourself if you don't know them. Please tell them who you are.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's join together in singing our opening hymn.
Salvation. flood this place. Fill our hearts and our lives so that having gathered in your presence, having gathered together shoulder to shoulder here in this community of faith to praise you, to worship you, we might leave agents of transformation, instruments of your grace, your love, your peace in a world that needs it. In Jesus' name. And now, as an act of worship, let us join together in declaring our faith using this statement of faith from the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated.
This morning, as we move into a time of prayer, I invite you to be in prayer for those particularly who are part of our community this morning who are in need of prayer. You'll find some names on the screen, and I'd like to lift up a couple of things for you. Some of you may know Art and Lois Reed. They have been married for 68 years, and they have been a part of Trinity since 1966. Art is in hospice care, and his wife and three children are gathered around him now. And I invite you to hold them in prayer during these last few hours or days as he passes from this life into the next. Also this morning, I would invite you to be in prayer for the Howell family. Parents are Lane and Teresa, and their oldest son, who is 22, died tragically yesterday, and he has two younger sisters, Ashlyn and Ellie, in college and high school. And so I invite you to be in prayer for Lane and Teresa and Ashlyn and Ellie, particularly over these next few days. Many of you also may have the events of Charlottesville, Virginia, on your hearts and minds. And I would invite you to be in prayer particularly for that community and for our nation and world to seek reconciliation and peace. Let's pray together. O God, you come to us new every morning, and we thank you each day for your mercy. Creator of all the children of the world, you created us to love one another. Yet today we come to you sad and brokenhearted by yesterday's to hatred, hostility, and bigotry in Charlottesville. The animosity displayed and the violence perpetrated betray the reality in many communities and in our nation and world. Forgive us, O God, when any of us turn to hate. Forgive us when we turn against our brothers and sisters, when we turn them into our enemies because of their nationality, race, understanding, or beliefs. This morning we pray for all those who are victims of violence, for those who have been injured in mind, body, or spirit, for those who are mourning, for those who stand against evil, even at great cost. We also pray for those whose hearts are filled with hatred, for those who have not known love and who have not embraced your love. Help us as followers of Christ to be models and guardians of a different way, to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. To be peacemakers and reconcilers, to seek and show love. O Lord, in our day-to-day lives, in small, meaningful ways, and in grand and impactful ways, may we, as your church and as individuals, embrace and embody the words of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. To be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. And now we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us as we yearn for his kingdom to come. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
worship Him is by giving back to Him what from what He has given us as an act of worship, as a means of sharing together our resources so that this church might continue the missions that we feel that God is leading us to. And so let us pray to God now as we worship Him with our offering. Gracious God, You indeed give us every good thing in life we enjoy. And so it is with joyful hearts that we give back to You from those resources. We pray, O God, that You take these tithes, these offerings, that You multiply them, and that You have Your will and Your way with them, and help us to be good stewards over them so that we might continue to do the work that You call us to, partnering with You to bring Your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Today we begin a new series of messages to kick off a new season, and as we think about kids going back to school, we'll be talking for the next 4 weeks about glimpses of God. And you know, glimpses are all we get. None of us can get a complete or full picture of God. It's been said that theologians can get themselves all tied up in knots when they start trying to describe the character of God, because to say one thing is to leave out something, or to say something that seemingly is in contradiction with another aspect of God's character. And so if the best and brightest scholars among us have a hard time with it, then it's no wonder that it's intimidating for the rest of us to try to talk about God, right? It can be a challenge. And so it makes me think about that story about the six blind men who walk up on an elephant one day, and they each touch a different part of the elephant, and based on what part they touch, they think they've approached something else. So one gets the trunk. And holding the trunk, as the trunk begins to move around, he says, "Oh, an elephant is like a snake, slithering and sliding all over the place." And then another one bumps into the side of the elephant and says, "Oh, an elephant is like a rock wall, strong and mighty." And then another one manages to grab hold of the tail and says, "Oh, an elephant is like a rope." And finally, one bumps into the one of the front legs of the elephant and says, "Oh, an elephant is like a tree with a mighty trunk." Each one of them grasping a piece of the whole, but none of them grasping the whole. And so I'm not surprised that over the years, one of the things that I hear parents and grandparents wrestle with and ask me questions about is, how do I talk to my kids about God? It seems so daunting to try to communicate with them the character of God. And I have good news for them and for us. Children's literature is a great place for us to find some images about that point us toward the character of God. And none of those stories give us the full picture, but at least we can get some glimpses and start to fill out a picture of who God is and what God is like. So for the next four Sundays, we're going to look at four different children's storybooks. And we'll start today with one that is entitled The Runaway Bunny. Now, I'm curious, how many of you are familiar with The Runaway Bunny? So some of you are, but there are a lot who aren't. So I'm so glad that I get to introduce you to this great storybook today. Did you know that this year is the 75th anniversary of the release of The Runaway Bunny? It's a book that's been around for a long time, and one that parents and grandparents still cuddle up with their young children to tell. And it's one that's great for us to hear as well, because in these stories we get some important reminders for us. So I thought as we kick off the series today that I would give you an opportunity to hear the story. It's brief, and not only hear it, but to be able to see the illustrations that go along with it. So I'm just going to go have a seat over here in the rocking chair for a minute and invite you to take a look at the screen.
The Runaway Bunny by Margaret Wise Brown. Once there was a little bunny who wanted to run away, so he said to his mother, "I am running away." "If you run away," said his mother, "I will run after you, for you are my little bunny." "If you run after me," said the little bunny, "I will become a fish in a trout stream, and I will swim away from you." "If you become a fish in a trout stream," said his mother, "I will become a fisherman, and I will fish for you." "If you become a fisherman," said the little bunny, "I will become a rock on the mountain high above you." "If you become a rock on the mountain high above me," said his mother, "I will be a mountain climber, and I will climb to where you are." "If you become a mountain climber," said the little bunny, "I will be a crocus in a hidden garden." "If you become a crocus in a hidden garden," said his mother, "I will be a gardener, and I will find you." "If you are a gardener and find me," said the little bunny, "I will be a bird and fly away from you." "If you become a bird and fly away from me," said his mother, "I will be a tree that you come home to." "If you become a tree," said the little bunny, "I will become a sailboat, and I will sail away from you." "If you become a sailboat and sail away from me," said his mother, "I will become the wind and blow you where I want you to go." "If you become the wind and blow me," said the little bunny, I will join a circus and fly away on a flying trapeze. If you go flying on a flying trapeze, said his mother, I will be a tightrope walker, and I will walk across the air to you. If you become a tightrope walker and walk across the air, said the bunny, I will become a little boy and run into a house. If you become a little boy and run into a house, said the mother bunny, I will become your mother and catch you in my arms and hug you. Shucks, said the little bunny, I might just as well stay where I am and be your little bunny. And so he did. Have a carrot, said the mother bunny. The end.
Will you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this servant, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives this morning. Amen. So I think that nearly every child at some point utters those words to a parent. I am going to run away from home. I know I remember I did it. I cannot remember why I decided on that particular day that I wanted to run away from home, but I was quite certain that I was going to run away. And so I remember going to the closet and opening it up and pulling out that hardcover suitcase and taking it to my room and opening it up and starting to throw some things from my drawers into it. And then I slammed the lid shut, locked it up, and started walking toward the front door with it and said to my mother as I went by, I am running away from home. And then I opened that front door and closed it behind me. And no sooner had I closed it behind me than I thought to myself, I have absolutely no idea where I'm going. And so I sat down on the front step right outside the front door of our house, trying to figure out what the next part of my plan was going to be. And as I did, I suddenly began to have these other thoughts like, you know, I really like my mom. And then I thought, all those toys that were in my room, I really like those too. And then I thought, you know, I really like playing ping pong with my dad. And so as more of those thoughts came into my mind, and as I still had no idea where I would go if I really did run away, I sheepishly turned around and went back in the front door and decided that I wouldn't run away after all. And there was my mother, ready to greet me and welcome me back in the house again. In the story today of the runaway bunny, that little bunny begins to imagine all kinds of ways in which he could run away and get away from his mother. And with every idea he concocts, the mother keeps coming back with that reassuring phrase or refrain, I will be there. Wherever you go, I will be there. It's quite remarkable to me how similar the storyline of the runaway bunny is to some verses that we find in the 139th Psalm of our Bible. Follow along with me today while I read some of those verses to you, beginning with verse 7. Where could I go to get away from your spirit? Where could I go to escape your presence? If I went up to heaven, you would be there. If I went down to the grave, you would be there too. If I could fly on the wings of dawn, stopping to rest only on the far side of the ocean, even there your hand would guide me. Even there your strong hand would hold me tight. If I said, the darkness will definitely hide me, the light will become night around me, even then, the darkness isn't too dark for you. Nighttime would shine bright as day, because darkness is the same as light to you. And at that point in the psalm, I think we should probably insert a, well, shot. Like the little bunny says, you know, after thinking of all these possible places that he could go, The psalmist reminds himself that in every one of those places, God will be there. And then at this point in the psalm, he turns his attention to the knowledge, the intimate knowledge that God has of him. You are the one who created my innermost parts. You knit me together while I was still in my mother's womb. I give thanks to you that I was marvelously set apart. Your works are wonderful. I know that very well. My bones weren't hidden from you when I was being put together in a secret place, when I was being woven together in the deep parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my embryo, and on your scroll, every day was written that was being formed for me before any of them had yet happened. God, your plans are incomprehensible to me. Their total number is countless. If I tried to count them, they outnumber grains of sand. If I came to the very end, I would still be with you. The psalmist comes to the same conclusion that the runaway bunny comes to, that no matter where he goes, at the very end, whenever and wherever that end happens, that mother, that God, will still be there with him. And so in this psalm today, we get the ideas of knowledge and presence together, that God fully knows us better than anybody, knows us better than we even know ourselves, and that God is also always with us. Sometimes theologians use the words omniscience and omnipresence to talk about those two ideas. And it's amazing to think about a God who is both of those things. That idea can often be one that is comforting for us. If we are going through a difficult time, if we need comfort, if we need reassurance, to know that this God that we talk about, that comes out of the pages of Scripture at us, is one who knows us and loves us and is with us, brings comfort. And yet there are also perhaps times when such awareness or such an idea doesn't bring comfort but becomes somewhat unnerving to us. After all, there may be some times when we'd rather just get away and say to God, leave us alone. Perhaps sometimes if we have done something that we know would be displeasing to God's heart, if we are in a place where we know it would be embarrassing for us to know that God knows where we are and what we're doing, or sometimes we just simply want to be left alone. I want to handle this all by myself, God, thanks. So sometimes that news comes as unnerving to us. And yet the good news that the psalmist reminds us of, and the good news that we can find even in the pages of that little book, The Runaway Bunny, is that the one who says, I will be there, is also the one who has known us from our very beginning. Even before our mothers gave birth to us, God was there, forming us, our innermost parts, creating us, loving us. That God who knows us so well and who desires to be with us never shows up in all of those places of our lives in order to coerce or control us, but is always reaching out, always offering redemption, always extending grace. It is this idea that we hear in John Wesley's talk about prevenient grace, that grace that goes before us because even before we recognize or decide that we want to be in relationship with God, God wants to be in relationship with us. And so God goes out searching and seeking and being with, so that whenever the time comes that we are ready, we will look up and discover that God is already there. There is no place where we can go where God will not go as well. Not to judge or condemn us, but to be there on our behalf. A number of years ago, I had an opportunity to spend a week as one of the coaches for a week of National Fellowship of Christian Athletes camp in Boone, North Carolina. And these young high school athletes from all over the region who played lots of different sports came for a week where they could learn more about their particular sport and have a chance to practice and test their skills against others who were there at the camp. And then also while they were there, each day they had the opportunity to participate in worship, to sing songs of praise about this God who loved them, and to hear inspiring messages from speakers who talked about the God who wanted to be in relationship with them. And for some of those young men, it was the first time they had ever heard anything like that or experienced anything like that. Some of them had never stepped foot in a church in their lives. They never knew or never heard about a God who really loved them just as they were. And so that week of camp was an opportunity for them to experience something new that could bring hope and life and promise to them. I'll never forget that one night as worship had ended and the boys all headed out to walk across the campus to the canteen to get snacks, there was one young man who I had gotten to know during that week, and he looked like he was a little troubled or something wasn't setting just right. He was walking by himself, and so I walked over to him and I put an arm around him and I said, "How you doing?" And as soon as he felt that arm and he heard that question, it was like it gave him permission to just let go, and he began to sob uncontrollably. And his whole body, this body of this burly linebacker of a kid who played football for his high school, just kind of buried his head in my shoulder. And when he finally could control his sobbing enough to speak, he said, "I just can't run anymore. I just can't run anymore." And the message that he had heard that week was that he didn't have to run anymore, because there was a God who was ready to receive him. You know, all of us want to run away at some time from something. Sometimes we want to run away from our parents. Sometimes, parents, we want to run away from our kids. Sometimes we may want to run away from our jobs. We want to run away from conflict that we are experiencing. We want to run away from the suffering or the chaos of life. And sometimes we just feel like we want to run away from life, period. And in those times, we often end up putting the blame on God. And so we say, "You know what, God, I just want to run away from you." And here's the good news. When we decide that we are ready to come home, God never lets us down. Every time, without fail, God is there to remind us that God has been there all along, and God welcomes us. The story of the runaway bunny gives us a wonderful image of that kind of persistent love that God has for us, searching and seeking, there whenever we are ready to say yes back to God. We spoke words earlier this morning in our worship that say that same thing to us. They are words that have found a place deep within my heart because they are such a great reminder to me of that love that God has for us in life, in death, life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Indeed, that is good news. Thanks be to God. Because, oh God, you are good and faithful. And in your goodness, you are there. Because you love us. And whenever we are ready to say yes, you remind us that before we were even born, you said yes to us. And you will be there to say yes again at the very end. Thank you.
Come to this table with grateful hearts, and we lift our voices in praise to God. We come remembering that God is creator of heaven and earth, and that God created each one of us, that God formed us when we were still in our mother's womb and knows every hair on our head. God has searched us and known us, and God loves us. And without fail, even when we run away from God, God's love remains steadfast. And God is there for us, ready to receive us. We have heard that, God's love for us, through the ages from prophets and teachers. And ultimately, God came in Jesus Christ. When we ran away from God, God said, okay, I'll become human. And I'll come to you. And God became human. And taught us how to live and taught us how to love. And called us to follow. And even when Christ was put to death on the cross for our sake, God said, I will still be with you in life and death, in life beyond death. You will not be alone. I will be with you. On the night before he was put to death, Jesus gathered the disciples around him, and he took a loaf of bread, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to them, and he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup and poured it, and he gave thanks to God. And he said, this is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so we come to this table and we offer ourselves to be a living witness of the love of God out in the world, as we share that love with everyone. Let's pray together. Oh God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his precious blood. And by your Spirit, oh God, we pray that you would make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes again in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. We invite those who are serving to come and join us at the meal and rooms. Thank you. table is an open table, a place where everyone is welcome because God's grace goes before us. So we invite you to come forward, beginning with the front rows and moving toward the back. You'll come out the left side of your section, go to the station in front of you, cup your hands to receive a piece of bread, and then you can take that and dip it into the cup. You're welcome to spend as much time as you like at the kneeling benches in prayer. And there's also gluten-free available on your side. Just ask the servers, and we would be happy to serve you. Please come. Everything's ready. loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for this holy meal in which you have given yourself for us. Grant that we might go out into the world in the strength of your gospel to love and serve others in all that we do. Amen. Would you please?
Before you go today, I just want to reiterate Catherine's invitation from before service today. That tonight at 6 o'clock at Faith Mission, there is an opportunity to gather for a worship service. Both us and others from that community who will come together, and then to walk across the street to Rawlings to celebrate what you all helped make happen, the total renovation and makeover of their media center, and what a great gift to that community. And you know, I was thinking about this morning how, in light of events from the last couple of days in Charlottesville, Virginia, and in the wake of the climate, the cultural climate in our nation right now, what a powerful witness it would be for a lot of us from Trinity to show up in the northeast part of town tonight and be a part of sharing and worship in that community. And to say in a very particular way, just by our presence, that we are a people who believe that God values every life, and that we are called to celebrate diversity and to celebrate and love our neighbors and our brothers and sisters across this community and across the world. And so I really invite you to come and be there tonight if you are able, and join us for that time at Faith Mission. And now go knowing that the grace of God goes with you, that the one who searches and seeks is always there ready to receive you, and that the Spirit is at work both in you and for you.